In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Final session of these few days is that we look at how then we achieve the holiness we've been talking about. In the first session we spoke about the holiness of God, and that by His nature He is perfectly holy, He is all holy. And this morning in the liturgy, we, through the confession of faith, come to one part of liturgy when we talk about the Trinity and say, one is the all-holy Father, one is the all-holy Son, one is the all-holy Spirit. Now, I probably realize that in the last couple of years that's changed. It used to be one is the Holy Father, one is the Holy Son, one is the Holy Spirit. That was an incorrect translation, because when you go back to the Greek, it's Panagios. Agios is holy. Panagios, all holy. So it's not enough for us to refer to God as holy, but He is all holy. He is Panagios. Above our level, at His own, as divine God, as perfect Master, and as Holy Father to us all. In the second session we spoke about ourselves and where we have ended up. Although having been first created in the image and likeness of God, created in relative perfection, because we can never be perfect, created in relative holiness, because we can never be all holy. But we have fallen as individuals and as humanity because of the weak nature of our humanity, because of the corrupted and defiled nature of the world in which we live, and because we along the way have become lost. Looking into various directions, but losing sight of the one direction towards which we should be heading. That one focal point of our lives, and that is approaching God. So, when we go back to that verse that we covered right at the beginning, from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 1, verse 16, it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." The holiness that we try to achieve is relatively, according to our level, the same holiness of God, in as much as we can approach it. But that's not the only difficult requirement we have made in this. Because if we read the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48, our Lord says to us that we should therefore be perfect, just as our Father in heaven is perfect. And again, you think, Lord, you know us. You know who we are. You know our weakness. How can we be perfect? It's not possible. Why do you ask such things of us? Our Lord asks such things of us because He wants us to attain that sufficient holiness that will allow us to live in His kingdom with Him. God wants us to be with Him. That's what this is all about. Why creation? Why the incarnation? Why death? Why the resurrection? Why the church? Why the sacraments? Why tradition? Why scripture? All of it comes down to one very simple fact. And that is that it is because God wants us to be with Him. He didn't create us to be alienated in this world forever. This is a small journey in comparison. This is not the be-all and end-all. This is not the end. People are so frightened of death because we feel that death is the end. Death is not an end, death is a beginning. And if we are trying to achieve holiness, we are trying to achieve holiness so that that beginning is a good beginning for us, is the right beginning. We are all, as spirits, going to stand before God in judgment. And it's really up to us where we want to end up with that judgment. And it is a choice. We don't have to be holy. We don't have to be like our Father. We don't have to be or do anything. But it's about what we want to do. I was reading a book written by His Holiness Pope Schnurr. And His Holiness writes something that I think was woke me up a little bit. I want to share it with you. Sayyidina writes, "Some think that having abandoned sin, they have reached God and are walking in a spiritual path. Abandoning sin is the passive struggle in spiritual life. Positive struggle is a longer story." What does that mean? It means if I want to attain holiness, sometimes I think, well, as long as I'm not sinning, I'm okay. And you hear it in confessions quite often. "How are you?" "Well, you know, I haven't killed, I haven't stolen, I haven't committed adultery, I haven't coveted, I haven't used the Lord's name in vain, and so on and so forth. Therefore, you know, this I've got nothing to confess, I'm fine. There is nothing wrong." Even if that were true, it would definitely not be sufficient. Because just the bare basis of not committing sin is by no means a life of holiness. And what happens with us is we sometimes are sufficiently content with just not committing sin. "How are you?" "I'm fine." "How's your spiritual life?" "I'm okay." "Do you go to church?" "Well, no, not really." "Do you pray?" "No, I don't have time." "Do you read your Bible?" "I haven't done it in months. I used to, but I don't." "Well, how's your spiritual life?" "I'm okay. I don't upset anyone. I'm fine." "Yeah, but you're not fine. You're borderline. It's one of those hairy 51% passes. And it's not necessarily going to be that clear cut. Because there's always those answers that you thought you answered right, but end up being wrong. Questions that you thought you read properly, but end up being wrong. And sometimes when you get your exam back, you think, "I thought it was very different. I thought I was okay. I thought I'd answered everything right." Just like we think, "Well, I thought I was living a life of holiness. I thought I was a good person. I thought I'd done everything right." Whether it's because of our own laziness or ignorance, or whether it's because of Satan's constant attempt to undermine our spiritual lives and our efforts, no matter what the reason, the problem is that quite often we don't do as well as we think we are. So just staying away from sin, yes, it's a start, and it's a wonderful start. It's a great start. And I myself, when someone comes to me and says, "Well, you know, I've been really sinful," and some people just can never forgive themselves. Now, some people commit a sin, and they will confess it time and time and time again. They just can't forgive themselves. And I will say to them, "Well, it's fine as long as you've stayed away from sin. That's fine." But that is only the first step. That is not the life of holiness. That is the life of living without sin. Holiness, and especially if we're going with the verse from the Epistle of St. Peter, is a very different thing. Because holiness is much higher. We want to constantly be struggling, grasping for what is higher so we can grow. In Psalm 92, verse 12, we're told that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Palm trees, big, high trees. So are cedars. They're strong. They are well rooted in the ground, very, very well anchored, strong, but they're also extremely tall. You might think, why do trees grow tall? Trees have an objective. Now, I'm not going to go into one of these conspiracy theories. We're not going to be taken up by the Triffids or anything like that. Don't worry about it. But trees have an objective. What is that objective? Their objective is to live. Just like any of us. Their objective is to stay alive and to thrive. And what you'll find is that trees will grow. And you will see this especially in rainforests. In forests where there is a dense coverage, lots of trees. What you will find is that because of the dense coverage, there is very little light. Trees need sunlight. You've done your biology, right? You know the trees need the sunlight. They take in the carbon dioxide and they give out oxygen. And what are the green things in the leaves? Chlorophyll. That's it. I did this about 20 years ago, so. But I still didn't enjoy it back then. It needs sunlight. And so it shoots up towards sunlight. As far as the tree is concerned, it is aiming for the sun. It is reaching for the sun. It wants to reach the source of life. It keeps going up and up. It doesn't know it can't reach the sun. It just goes up as far as it can. Because it wants to live. It takes its nourishment from its roots. And the more nourishment and the bigger the roots, the more stable it is and the higher it can go chasing the sun. And it grows upright and strong. And that should be the same as our quest for holiness. We should be grounded, our roots in the ground, being nourished by scripture, being nourished by the sacraments, being nourished by spiritual teaching, being nourished by the fathers, being nourished by the church, being anchored and strong and stable. And because we're receiving all that sustenance, all that nourishment through our roots, we chase the sun. We go right up as far as we can go. We may never reach the sun. We will never reach the sun. Because the sun is the perfection of God in His holiness. But that doesn't stop us from climbing. It doesn't stop us from thriving and growing. It doesn't stop us from trying. Saint Athanasius has a famous saying that is sometimes misunderstood by people. And that is that He, our Lord, became man so that we may become gods. Now, there is a general trend at the moment to talk about the deification of man, that man starts to take some of the attributes of God. Obviously, that is within our pastoral teaching, our scriptural teaching. That is not correct. What it does mean, however, is we move towards the holiness of God. We move closer to Him, because before the incarnation, before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was a huge obstacle. Lysias and Gregory, we said that He has come and He has removed that obstacle, that division between the heavenly and the earthly, between God and man. And so we are able to approach that holiness, because that obstacle, that barrier is no longer there. No matter how righteous, we talked yesterday about Joseph, we talked about Moses, we talked about Abraham, we talked about many, many people who are very righteous. Yes, they may have made mistakes in their lives, but there were righteous men and there were righteous women with them. But no matter how righteous, they could not approach the holiness of God, because there was an obstacle. No matter how righteous, they ended up in Hades, waiting the promised salvation, waiting for hundreds, thousands of years for the Messiah, for the Christ, for the Savior, who was going to come and free them from those bonds and return them to their rightful place in paradise, awaiting that day of judgment. Don't ever be sufficiently satisfied with not committing sin. That is moving towards holiness, but it is not holiness. It's getting there. It's approaching. It's one of the stops along the way. And if we go back to my tree metaphor, seeing I didn't like it back then, I may as well do something with it now. You can walk, drive past and see trees that have mangled branches, and that are bending downwards, and that really have no future for growth. There is no potential. This tree that chases the sun ends up being strong and upright and tall, because that is the only way it can reach what it's looking for. And even if it never reaches it, it is upright and tall because of its quest. If you read St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4, we read St. Paul saying, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He chose us in Him. He wanted to provide for us that possibility of holiness in Him. Because holiness can only come in Him and through Him. Because He is the source of all holiness. We can do good deeds. We can give to charities. We can do charitable work. We can go all over the world. We can do many, many things if they are not rooted, if they are not grounded, if they are not founded within Christ and a Christian love and a Christian objective of salvation, then this is not holiness. It is being nice. It is being benevolent. It is being loving. But it is not holiness, because holiness is only in Him, the All Holy. In the world today, we have all of this confusion in our lives. And people say to you, well, yes, if you give donations here, if you do charitable work there, or if you go on this run, or if you support this cause, then why not? That's it. That's holiness. That's it. Why do I need to go to church? Why do I need to get closer to God? Why do I need to know Him? Why do I need to read Scripture? I'm doing good things. Yes, fine. You're doing good things. Good things are not holiness. Good things are part of holiness if they are founded in Christ, but they are not holiness. So why should we be holy? We've been assuming something. Who says it's good to be holy? We've been talking here for 2 days, saying, be holy, be holy, be holy. Here's what, why? Why be holy? Has anyone thought of that? People don't think. You know, if you were here in the 60s, you would have been rebellious and wearing floral things with... that's bad dress sense thing. That was rebellious, but anyway. You know, you'd be wearing flares and saying, no, 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 we don't just want to be holy. Why should we be holy? You just sit there and believe me. Well, thank you for that. Why should we be holy? Because St. Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians, the first epistle, chapter 4, verse 3, makes it very clear why should we be holy. He says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. To be sanctified is to be holy. So this is the will of God. We were talking about the will of God yesterday. What is the will of God? How do I know the will of God in my life? And we sit there and think, how do I know God's will? How do I hear it? Here it is. Black and white. Very simple. What is the will of God? The will of God is your sanctification. Therefore, anything that falls within that is God's will. Whether it be your work, your family life, your service, anything you do, as long as it falls within this sanctification, then it is God's will. Because God's will never ever be that wants to take you away from Him. God's will is always going to want to bring you closer to Him. And inevitably, eventually, with Him forever. We spend our whole lives looking for God's will. And here it is. As clear as anything you'll ever see or read. This is God's will, your sanctification. So the quest is over. We have found God's will, because one of the greatest obstacles to our lives is, I don't know what God wants me to do. What does God want me to do? How does God want me to live my life? And that is such a bad excuse. Because sometimes we know. We know completely. Well, if we had any doubt, if we were unsure in any way, this clarifies the picture completely. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Therefore, let us be sanctified. How are we sanctified? The first step of sanctification, the first step of holiness, is to stay away from sin, as we've said. The next step then is to grow. And how do we grow? And I'm really sorry to tell you this really boring stuff, and I'm sure you've heard it before. And I'm probably not going to tell you anything new, so you're going to think, why did I bother coming? But really, it's quite simple. How do we grow? Being nourished by the Word of God. Being strengthened by the grace of God. Being filled by the Spirit of God. and interacting with God in that relationship. That's all. It's simple. The problem is with it, however, that although it's simple, we try to go around it because it's not always pleasant. You know, taking cough medicine is simple when you have a cough. Having a flu jab is simple when you've got a flu. But it is not pleasant. When you say, yes, you need to be close to God to be perfect, to be sanctified, to be holy, then yes, I know. But with all due respect, and I'm really sorry, actually. Any lightning strikes here, please stay away. I'm going to say something, but I know he understands me. Being with God is not sometimes not pleasant. Within our own human assessment. Because being with God means I'm not of this world. I can't enjoy the things of this world. Because being with God, I have to be spiritual and stuff. That's a new terminology, by the way, for those of you who don't deal with teenagers anymore. It is and stuff. In Arabic, bada'a. I don't even want to know what it is in French. But what is in French? Chose. Something. Something, bada'a. Things. Yeah. All words. Stuff. It's not fun. It's not fun because I want to go out there, and I'm sorry if this sounds juvenile, because I know you're all older than that, but sometimes spiritually we don't grow up. You know, sometimes you'll find that the same conflicts you were having when you were 13, 14, 15 are the conflicts you're having now. Now, academically that's not the case. Socially that's not the case. So why spiritually would it be the case? Why don't we get over that stage of things? At the teenage stage, adolescent stage, I would be over the moon if they could all just stay out of trouble and not sin. That's fine by me. Just don't sin, that's fine. We'll deal with holiness later. Just start by not sinning. Because it is such a traumatic time of their life, because there are lots of changes, lots of alterations, lots of new feelings. It's fine. It's understandable. But what's our excuse? Why can't we be holy? Because we don't grow like anything else. You'll turn around and say to your parents, don't treat me like that anymore, I've got a child. But we deal like big, spiritual kids when it comes to God. I'm still, you know, trying to dodge homework and say, my dog ate it. Why didn't you pray? Because I just couldn't. I was busy. I had commitments. Why didn't you read your Bible? I just had things to do and I couldn't do them. And this isn't a headmaster we're talking. This is God. Well, your headmaster couldn't see what you're doing at home. God can. And so we've got to get over this stage. And the other thing is that what we need to do is we do it for ourselves. God is not going to get anything out of it except that we're going to be with him in his kingdom, and he would love us to be with him in his kingdom. But personally, he's not going to benefit. We are going to benefit. This is for us. And he provides every assistance. He provides everything. He wants to help us. Satan is going to be a huge obstacle to our lives of holiness when we start to seek them. Because he doesn't want us to be holy. He wants us to be lazy. He wants us to procrastinate. He wants us to grow old in sin. He wants us to die in sin because he doesn't want to be left alone. He will do everything in his power, and when we're away from God, he is powerful. He will do everything in His power to keep you from a life of righteousness, a life of holiness. He will throw things in your way that you didn't even know. And when you start to seek a life of holiness, some people get hit with temptations they didn't even feel before. I did not feel like that. Where did that come from? How did that happen? Easy. It's because He tries everything. He looks for our weak spots and He presses on them. But we can overcome because our Lord has given us that dominion and that power. We are not under the authority of Satan. We are under the power and the grace of God. Through His Spirit, through His sacraments, through His presence in our lives, Satan has no power unless we go over there and hand ourselves to him. This is a war. It is a war. And the rules of war apply. Satan can only take us in two situations. Either if he defeats us in battle, or if we go over and surrender. There's no third option. He either comes across, finds us, we either fight or don't fight, but whatever the case, he defeats us and takes us away. Or we should go and say, listen, I give up. I'm yours. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to wear this uniform anymore. I don't want to fight this fight anymore. I'm yours. And these are the only two ways. And he will always try to get us somehow. He will try to defeat us in every conceivable known way, and some of them unknown to us. When you read the Paradise of the Fathers, our monastic fathers of the 4th, 5th, 6th centuries, you will see what Satan did. He was ingenious. He did so many things. He would appear to them as angels and promise them salvation and take them up and then drop them to their death. He would appear to them as poor people to be helped and then overtake their lives. He would appear to them as men or women, or he would appear to them in so many different ways. Why? Because he wanted to be an obstacle to their lives of holiness. Now it's easy to think of monks and nuns as being those who try to achieve lives of holiness. And I'm sure the fathers have heard this before, where people will come and confess or talk and say, why don't you try to do this? Say, I'm not holy like you. Who told you I was holy? Not the fathers, not me. Who told you I was holy? I'm a human like you. Yes, I've been given particular grace and particular gifts for ministry, but in my own spiritual life and spiritual struggle, I'm like you. If I can try to achieve holiness, you can try to achieve holiness. I'm not a better person. I know lots of better people who are lay people. Some of them young, some of them older, some of them single, some of them married. These vestments don't make you holy. It is the gift that we receive and the grace we receive that gives us a function. But don't ever look at others as being those who can achieve holiness, whereas I can't. Why? Because I'm doomed. If the Son sets you free, then you are what? Free indeed. We are all capable of achieving holiness by our work and by God's grace. Together, it's a joint effort. is in this world Satan's going to keep attacking me. And I can't fight him off by myself. I need God's grace. But God's grace will not step in unless I am also making that effort. So it's a joint effort. It's a partnership between me and God in trying to reach His holiness. So apart from all the obstacles and all the dilemmas, apart from all the hurdles we need to jump, when we do end up reaching that level of holiness, that which we are able to achieve, we will feel the difference. Because we come closer to God. We come closer to Him, we feel His warmth more, we feel His strength more. We are more able to overcome sin. And we are more able to overcome greater temptation. Because that holiness is power, it is strength. Because that holiness means that I don't walk around with so much baggage. We walk around through our lives with years of baggage. Sin, memories, experiences, things we've heard, things we've seen, things we've done, things we've heard other people have done. And it just becomes so burdensome. And you feel like you're walking around this huge sack on your back. Part of holiness is that that weight is removed. And we no longer plod along slowly because we can't move, but we run, we sprint, we skip, we jump, because we're not burdened. Why do we choose to live in captivity? Why do we choose to live away from holiness? Why do we choose to live away from God? Does it make any sense to anyone? In light of what we've been saying over the last couple of days, does it make sense? So why do we do it? And it's not just you, it's me as well. We all do it. We all sin, we all stumble, we all forget, we all go back. Why? Because we're not like that tree. We've got to be like that tree. Today, boys and girls, when we go home, we're all going to pretend to be trees. Your parents are going to think you're really strange, if they don't already. But we're all going to pretend to be trees. We are all going to be aiming for that sun, that light. We're all going to be striving to grow strong and approach the sun that is life-giving. Our sun is also life-giving. Not spelled S-U-N, but spelled S-O-N. Because He is also life-giving. And if our eye is firmly fixed on Him, if we grow towards Him, then we approach holiness. Children are so simple. And one of the things, the lovely things about them is they are simple. If you sit with them, and I'm talking about very young children, and if you tell them to reach up and grab the sun, they will do it. They'll reach up and they'll grab. And if you tell them they've caught it, then they believe you. We need to go back to that simplicity. Reach up and grab the sun. move towards it more and more. Let's not let our degrees and our credentials and our qualifications and the letters before our names and after our names and the middle of our names and our salaries and our perks and our all, let's not let all of those things take away from our spiritual simplicity. Let us, as our Lord said, be like children so that we can enter his kingdom. Let us be like one of them. If you ask any boy what he wants to be, you know, at some stage, he will tell you he wants to be an astronaut. Now, if we sat there and think, well, there are so many billion people in the world, there are about 3 astronauts, so his possibility of being an astronaut is, well, pretty well nil. But you try to tell him that he won't believe you. I'm going to be an astronaut. I don't care what you say. Our possibility of reaching a life of holiness, not perfect holiness, but a life of holiness, is much greater than that little boy's possibility of being an astronaut. But because of his simple childhood and his simple innocence, he still wants to be the astronaut, and he will try, and he'll go and buy the suit, and he'll go and color in his little book, and he'll pretend that he'll jump off furniture and drive his parents crazy, but you know, he's going to be an astronaut. But we sit there and calculate, well, what can I do? I mean, I can't pray, and I can't read my Bible, and I don't have time, and I've got so many commitments, and I just don't have time for holiness. I can never be holy. Why should I even try? I will never achieve it. So why bother? Why do something, try something, then be disappointed? If you try, you will never be disappointed. Because as his creation, he knows us very well. And he knows some of us are going to reach 30-fold, some will reach 60-fold, some will reach 100-fold. And whichever of those you and I reach, it will bring us joy. Because it will be the most we can reach. God deals with us as individuals. And he expects of us as individuals. God doesn't have this stock standard requisition form of, yes, have you done this, 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 okay, enter the kingdom, thank you very much. No, I'm sorry, you're gone. This is not a government department, this is God. God who knows you and me. God who knows what we're capable of. And as long as we can be like that child who reaches up and grabs the sun, like that child who wants to be the astronaut, like that tree that just reaches, we will reach the satisfaction of being who we need to be. Don't ever forget that the will of God is your sanctification. Don't ever forget that you can grow like those big cedars of Lebanon. Don't forget that we need to try to be perfect as he is perfect. And most of all, don't forget that it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Glory be to God forever. Amen.